Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Jake, help me and be serious for a moment. Help me name the people yesterday. I don't want to leave anyone out. That were there that actually were working their tail off yesterday to help make the Coors Light Fan Fest happen. Looky here.
So you want me to be serious?
I'm being serious. Right. People like.
We'll start with the Drake.
The Drake.
Jason Justice, big help, vital
fantastic.
Part of the process.
Shane Summers.
Shane.
Our man Derek worked very hard and set up the inflatable and did a lot of good stuff setting up behind the scenes. Charlie Carlin worked his tail off. So Derek and Charlie. Because a lot of times the people that are doing all the little things and sometimes the big things like the inflatable don't get enough credit.
Two young men of the St. John Elk?
No.
Richie and Philip were big hands?
No.
They helped out quite a bit. More than me.
You know what? They were putting up. So we got there really early.
We had the inflatable up.
They helped.
It's the best because I saw them before I saw you. I was like, hey, boys, what's up? Not much.
Were they playing grab ass or something?
No, they were talking to their cousin.
Okay. Cousin Dustin.
Dustin. And
so I told, I told Pamela when we got there, I said, what do you need them to do? Because I would like to put them on assignment immediately.
Right.
And she goes, oh, you could hang up these banners. And, you know, Rich looks at me, thanks, Dad.
Right.
And Phil's just like, Phil can't wait to boss Rich here. So they're hanging up banners
right.
and everything else.
And so I ask him, I go, you know, I was just walking in. I was like, how long you guys been here? About 15 minutes. And I'm not going to say which one, but you probably feel it. Dad's already in a mood.
Because, you know, when I get down, that's Richie, I'm sure. When I get down there, yeah, I want things going, I want things right, and everything's going right, but then you want, if I'm going to be a part of something, I want it to be good, yeah. I want it to look good, and that's why I'm trying, you know, Jessica J. Rob.
Yep, I was about to say.
She was great.
She was fantastic.
And if I'm missing anyone, I'm
Rob
sorry.
Rob Brent was down there.
Rob, doing, I'm not, I won't say
nothing.
Anything nice about him. He hurt the process.
Yeah.
He actually...
good for him, though.
Right.
I'm usually in that camp.
He slowed things down. So I told Pamela, I said, just give them something.
Our two guys on stage, the DJ and then Jason.
DJ Laser.
Laser.
And Jason Bradley. Were
yeah.
So everyone that set up beforehand, during,
Connell and Michael the intern.
Yeah, Michael DiMaggio and Connell the intern. It takes
interns.
A lot of people to pull off something like that. And it was really... really good, well done, great job.
Was Josh Briscoe, is he helping?
Yeah, Josh Briscoe. Josh was fantastic.
I'm trying
as well.
To remember all the people that helped.
And Josh and Derek and Charlie, those guys were the ones doing the grunt work. There was almost a disaster with the inflatable Sports Radio 810 blow up that maybe almost took out a couple of people.
That's all right.
And so they were very, very good. And so, yeah, and Josh Briscoe and Charlie Carlin and our man Derek worked very hard. So I want to recognize them on the air because a lot of times when we do stuff like that, the people that put all the work in beforehand don't get enough credit. And so it makes me very proud to work here at Union Broadcasting and Sports Radio 810 when I see so many different people coming together and working their ass off. So that was really good. And then we're lucky enough to have thousands and thousands of people there. And you know that, Nate, you've done enough stuff down there to see how many people have to work hard to make it look like it does and how much fun it is for everybody.
No doubt about it.
You know, and also, they call me the MC. The real MC goes by the name Alok.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very commanding stage presence and very demanding.
He's
also
really the director. He just directs everything.
Pushed me out of the way a couple of times, and you defer to Alok. And
didn't realize the hot mic in his hand.
Right.
Well, uh-oh.
Yeah, that was the old hot mic.
Oh, is this thing on?
Yeah.
Yep.
So what?
Hot mic.
And, of course, Chad Boger, who the straw that stirs the drink.
Mm-hmm.
Or just the one drinking the drink.
Right, so what?
He wasn't the only one.
Oh, it was so much fun. It was one of those days you don't want it to end. The game went by too fast.
You know what? That's the first thing my brother said to me. He said that the game just flew by. Like, he before you knew it, it was already halftime, and then...
Did your brother have fun?
He did. He had a blast.
That's one of the things I love about college basketball, though. They're two-hour games.
unlike college football.
Oh my God! It's untenable.
And let me tell you this.
Ridiculous.
So I was so unbelievably thrilled because they had. I had two remotes on Wednesday, one on Thursday, one on Friday, and so I knew I was going to be at P&L all day for this game on Sunday. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to stay home with the fam and watch sports and enjoy myself, have some fun. And so everything was lined up where I could watch a little bit of everything. So I watched Mizzou beat Idaho, and hey, Mizzou wins a football game. I don't care who it's against. I'm happy. And so and then. I'm going to watch this because I feel like anytime Kansas State and Oklahoma plays, it's entertaining.
Yeah.
It's a very good game. And right off the bat, after they had the delay, the weather delay, K-State came out swinging. I said, oh boy, this is going to be good. And it was good. That was a hell of a college football game. But college football is so freaking long.
Oh.
That you're just fighting. Oh. I mean, I'm not just not banking. Just any right. Anymore, any game.
Right now, it's that and postseason baseball.
Please.
It's just like, oh.
Because there was no, you had no baseball or anything else. So you know.
Yeah.
And then that led into the evening portion of Saturday, which there was a baseball game. And a very interesting decision that many people were asking about. We talked about this historical performance by KU, 21 yards of total offense against TCU. But even before you knew that, on paper, you're not thinking, well, this TCU-Kansas game, got to have this on.
Right.
A 39-point spread. Right. 39 was the spread.
And I don't know, you're a TV guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm an idiot over here. I'm a radio guy that sits over in the corner. I can't figure nothing out. How does it end up that TCU and Kansas is on Fox, and you got to go to FS1 to watch Game 7 of the ALCS between the Astros and Yankees.
Well, they want to put the best team in the conference on,
but
and
it's,
they
well, I
put
don't,
the worst team in the conference on
but,
as well
but it's,
by doing that.
I mean, I mean, you could even flip-flop them. I would have. K-State and Oklahoma deserve to be in prime time.
I agree.
Way before TCU and Kansas, right? And you know what? It was a primetime worthy game.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a game, right down to the wire. And I watched almost all that game, and I was highly entertained from beginning to end. That was a good college football game.
I need to text some of the people I know at Fox to find out if I can get an answer on this because
demand it.
The game 7 was pitting two of the biggest four TV markets in the country in a game 7. New York's market 1, right? And I think Houston's market 4. I think.
Springfield, Missouri is actually market, market 1.
Yeah. One number with a bullet.
It's the new formula.
So you got like two of the top 5 markets in the country playing in a game 7 ALCS against each other on Fox Sports 1. And you got a college football game against, you know, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, just again, it's supposed
to be
a massive blowout on the network Fox. And my only question is that an indication? Okay, Al Wallace, you work at Fox. Let me know what's up. Why did they do this? Is it? He just texted me.
What are you yelling at Al Wallace
well,
for?
Get off him. Give me the details.
You yelling at that's a friend of mine. You don't say anything bad about Al Wallace.
A friend of
life.
Ours.
Respect the hell out of Al Wallace.
A friend of ours.
Hours.
But is that because it's one of two things to me. It's either this is how much more popular college football is than baseball, or it's Fox Sports 1 is trying so hard to get ratings and to get into TV households and to, you know, be able to charge per viewer subscriber.
I watched FS1. I had to watch that.
Right.
You know,
were they trying to drive more people to Fox Sports 1 so that they get, you know, they can get their cable deals? I don't understand because, like, how in the world was that the setup? How in the world was that college football game on Fox and that baseball game on Fox Sports 1? But I will say this: Jake's right. Both sports have a massive problem, in my opinion, which is. These games take over. Sporting events should not take over 4 hours. The NFL's got it down. They get their games done in 3 hours, man. And even the NFL games, I think, borderline on too long. But they get it in 3 hours, and they move on to the next game. College football and major, and once you get into the postseason, Major League Baseball is brutal. It's brutal how long these games take, and they're almost as long as the college football games.
I will say this: that game could have lasted 9 hours, and I would have never been tired of watching the Yankees in agony,
just watching them get their butts kicked.
You knew they you just can't defend. They just weren't ever going to come back. It's like, yes. Let's just stretch this out as long as possible.
So, okay, here's my answer from a person at Fox.
I want to know who the answer's going to be.
I don't know if he
right
wants
now.
His name.
Is it Al Wallace?
He texted you first.
He doesn't know if it's Al Wallace now.
I don't know if this text is from Al Wallace, but it is, according to this person, it is because the Fox executives are trying to drive people to FS1. You know, they're trying to grow their audience. So I guess that makes sense.
But what a disservice to people that want to watch Fox. K-State, Oklahoma was the primetime game.
Dollar signs.
But maybe we're the dummies because that was an historic performance by Kansas on Saturday night.
Jerk.
Is that not a true statement? Yes or no?
I'm not answering you.
Did it break a record?
Yep.
What record did you? But you looked up. What was the Big 12 record? Who had the Big 12 record?
Oh, I'm talking about this is the FBS record that they broke.
Oh, they broke that one too.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not.
They
know
did.
That. Did they really?
Well, it's in the last 20, they said the previous low was held by Florida International in 2013 when they had just 27 offensive yards against Louisville.
Because they broke the Big 12 record.
Fewest of any points, but in the FBS in the last 20 seasons.
Yards?
I mean, I told you, I looked up the game that KU had 46 yards against Texas back in 2011.
I'm
so
looking up the big, yeah, it's definitely a Big 12 record, but it's the lowest amount of yards in the last 20 years for an FBS team.
Did you see the picture that Jesse Newell tweeted out of the offensive coordinator sitting back in a stairwell with his head in his hands? If you go to Jesse Newell's Twitter account, he took a picture of it.
Kansas had 4 first downs, 2 by penalty.
It's better than 3.
But they were in the negative until the last drive of the game, right, yardage-wise?
Yeah, because many people were...
I think it was the -6 going into last drive.
That would have been something.
So who's ready for the Sunflower Showdown?
You. What's the line for Kansas State at Kansas this Saturday?
I looked it up. Do you want me to tell you, or do you want to, Jake? You
I want
guess?
Jake to guess first.
They're playing this one in Lawrence.
It's in Memorial Stadium in Lawrence, Kansas.
I'm gonna go 24 minus 24. K-State is minus 24.
Have you seen it?
I have not.
23.5.
Vegas Jake strikes again.
Vegas Jake, you've seen it.
I swear to God. I mean, the guy.
Now, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you, because I asked Jake this question.
Yes, me this question, you mean, earlier, right?
Yeah, I asked Steven this question. I'll ask you, Jake.
Oh, boy.
How big would the line have to be for you to take Kansas?
Like how many points would you actually need?
You mean this weekend or just in general?
This weekend, before this you would weekend. Actually make a bet.
Oh, you got to give me 35 points.
That's exactly what I said. Me and you connect on a different level. Oh, whoa. Ever do that to me again.
Sit down and be humble, please.
Don't ever please make that gesture at me again. That was awful.
I mean, that's...
Kansas City, let me tell you something.
Connected.
I can't say what he just did on the air, but
that's how
offensive.
Steven, that's how I connect with you.
Yeah, well, thank you. I will not connect with you.
Yeah.
Ever.
All right.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, so because, like, you just, like, can't even do it, right? Like, you just can't even take Kansas right now because this game against TCU, the narrative from everybody was
narrative.
Well, KU plays TCU close. For whatever reason, they always play close games against TCU. The spread was 39. And I was asking people, like, is that enough for you to take them?
No.
Like, is that, I mean, 39, like, how many touchdowns is that? You know, I'm not good at math. Is that, what, 6 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Is that enough? Like, and it wasn't enough. Like they didn't. It was a 39-point spread, and they didn't. You know, TCU beat the spread.
Sure they did. Of course they did.
So I mean,
it's just like easy money. Like, go bet your mortgage against Kansas.
So like 23.5 seems like a lot at home.
Nope.
Rivalry game. K-State's had some struggles
on
offense.
You want to win some money this weekend?
I mean,
I'd have to have more than 35 now. I'm thinking about it.
Like, what number would it have? That's what I'm saying. Like, what number?
For me to actually, if I did such things, I'd have to hear 42 before, maybe 42 and a half. Maybe 42 and a half.
I'd take 35. If you want to give me 35 points, I'll take
Nate,
it.
Nate, give him 35. Take Kansas. Let's make this happen.
I'm not betting against Kansas, so.
Why?
I'm just on principle.
Okay, well, there you go.
You want to give me 35?
You're against winning money?
Give him 35.
You want to give me 35 and I'll take
it? Give him
bet?
35 and a half. Give him the half.
Give me 34 and a half.
I'll give you 34 and a half. I don't know.
Let's do it.
That's the number. I mean, 24 seems incredibly low, or 23 and a half.
That's low.
Right?
Well, when was the last time KU scored?
Oh, no.
I mean, Nate.
Let him look it up.
It would have been the West Virginia game, right? I think.
Oh.
They didn't score in
Ames.
In Ames.
Nope. No, they didn't.
But they're back home. They've scored.
Which, they've proven they still suck at home.
Well, they scored some points they scored 19 against Texas Tech. So
that was their 44th consecutive loss in a true road game, which tied an 81-year-old NCAA record.
They've gone 9 quarters without a point.
You're being negative.
I'm not.
I think you are.
I'm just reading out off numbers.
Jake, I will buy you lunch if you tell me.
I'm a cheap date.
Right. Who has the record for true consecutive road losses in a row?
Oh, don't bring this up.
Who has the record? No, who has the record?
I mean, it's got to be Kansas, right?
No.
Oh, they don't?
Is it Division I?
Well, they tied it, so who do they tie?
Was it K-State back in the day?
Western State of Colorado back then.
Oh, yeah.
Remember from 1926 to 1936?
Oh, yeah.
They had some issues.
I thought maybe pre-Bill Snyder K-State. Mm-hmm. They weren't even this bad, huh?
No. What do you do? I mean.
As Charlie Weiss said, what are you going to do? Really?
What time's the game?
What are you going to do?
On Saturday.
I hope it's delayed forever for weather.
They're not going to delay it forever.
Forever? Forever and ever.
They can't delay it forever.
No, that's not allowed.
A boy can hope.
I'm assuming it's an 11 o'clock kick. That's usually the time slot that KU has locked down. But
no, they were prime time, buddy.
Prime time.
Well, 7 o'clock on Fox,
I know,
sir.
But that's...
Prime time.
Sir.
That really wasn't very nice of the Fox executives.
Why not?
2 o'clock Central Time.
See? Wrong.
And wow. This one's on Fox Sports 1.
Wow.
2 o'clock Central Time. 3-4 Kansas State against 1-6 Kansas in the Sunfeller Showdown.
That's your Charlie Weiss hype the game.
Well, I got to find this one first.
No,
what are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right, the Sunfeller Showdown.
Yeah.
You know how bad I want Iowa State to win this conference? With all of my heart.
Well, they have TCU at home at 2:30.
Iowa State, I'm with you.
ABC. That
I'm jumping on the bandwagon to expect it to come to a crashing halt immediately.
We are talking about K-State.
Hey, you remember when I read when we had all the candidates that Mizzou was looking at, and you guys were asking who I like. I said I like Matt Campbell a lot.
Uh-huh.
Where was he at?
Toledo.
Yep. Oh, Matt Coach. Oh,
like,
weird.
Holy Toledo.
Right. Matt and he's the guy who recruited Kareem Hunt.
When Iowa State hired him, I said, you know what?
Kareem Hunt.
Iowa State hired a hell of a coach, and it's going to be fun to watch what he does there as long as he's there. And I'm not trying to be negative about it because any program that's struggling should want to hire a coach that everyone else is going to want. That's the price of doing business correctly. You hire a great coach, and he turns your program around, other schools are going to come after him. That's what you want. You don't want a coach that nobody comes after, because that means you're terrible. And so Iowa State fans, be glad, Because number one, not only are you winning, but Matt Campbell's showing what you can do if you have the right coach.
What are you going to do?
They went and shut down. They held Texas take the 13 points in Lubbock. There's nothing that's a fluke about that. And damn it, I wish they could replay that game against Texas again. They lost 17-7. But I'm going to tell you what.
They're 6-point dogs at home. And Soren Petro, who knows a thing or two about the Vegas line, says if it's less than a touchdown, that means they think that the underdog has a really decent chance of winning the game. So that's going to be a heck of a game.
TCU's 4-0. Then Iowa State, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and West Virginia are all 3-1. Iowa State won at Oklahoma. They play Oklahoma State in Ames. They play TCU, like you said, in Ames. They have to go to West Virginia. The last two games of the year at Baylor and at Kansas State. I mean, if you win at Oklahoma, you can win anywhere. But, I mean, ABC, 2:30.
Oh, boy.
TCU, that's Iowa State. Yeah, that's going to be a hell of a game. Hey, I'm happy for Iowa State.
Oh, that'll
State
be right
fans.
During
that's
the
great.
Arkalala parade.
I have no idea what you just said.
Neither do I.
I literally don't know what that
means.
There's
no way that parade goes 5 hours like
you
that football
say,
game.
Good point.
Right?
You can watch
say
the entire parade and
right,
be home by halftime.
Like, what does that mean? What did you just say?
I'm going out and taking the kids down to Ark City, Kansas this weekend, my mom's hometown, where they have a huge, by their standards, huge Halloween weekend-long festival called Arkalala. And my kids will get their first taste of Arkalala Fest. There's a big parade.
What is it? What's Arkalala?
I think it's supposed to be like the Niawala. Does somebody do a big festival called Niawala? It's like
no,
Halloween spelled backwards.
I went to school with a girl named Lala. I don't know if she's going to be there.
Lala?
But, yeah, Lala.
Yeah, what was she like?
She lived across the street from Hugo. It's Hugo's cousin.
Okay, see.
Does she have anything to do with this parade?
I don't think so. Hmm. I could be wrong. I don't know Lala.
Check on that.
But they have a Queen of Lala pageant, a beauty pageant.
What are you giggling for about that? Well, there's nothing funny about that.
Yes, there is.
Why?
It's a beauty pageant in a small town.
I don't know what's funny about that, Nate.
Yeah, I bet you can imagine.
Like, what do you mean?
Well, it's a beauty pageant. It looks like when you watch the beauty pageant there, I feel like it's like you're in a Christopher Guest movie, you know? Like, they could do a mockumentary about, like, a small-town beauty pageant,
I have not seen this beauty pageant. I don't know what you're talking about.
Queen of Lala.
It seems
I mean, that
I'd
sounds
like
pretty
to
cool,
go to
doesn't
this.
It? Yeah, you, oh,
like
you would. You'd have some
this.
Fun. Let me ask you this question. Because there's a carnival. There's the egg toss. There's the pancake feed. There's the...
I was doing the pancake feed.
Oh, yeah. The pancake feed is tremendous.
Toss eggs in my mouth. What?
So, well,
he's really getting a kick talking about... What, Jake, are you following here or what?
So...
Hey, what happened?
You know what? Shut up, Lebo. Yeah. Todd, come here.
Hey, what happened?
Todd, come here. I want to ask you something.
You'll like this. But at the carnival, how bad is it going to get when I tell my children they're not allowed to ride any carnival rides?
Why?
Oh, they're going to hate you.
They're going to hate me. But
why?
You know what? They'll be alive. So.
Oh, dude. I mean,
Todd,
you have more of a chance of getting hurt
alive
in the car
I was
down
text
there than
you,
on the actual ride.
Here's the deal. I was going to text you, but I've got respect for you.
Yeah.
So I didn't. I stayed away.
Yeah.
But it wasn't going to be poking at you. I really wanted to know what you thought.
He's okay. Being serious.
During the game.
Which game?
The Kansas
State-Oklahoma
game.
I was at that game.
Yeah.
What was your level of concern? Did you, like sometimes they go, oh, you know what, we're going to come back and win this game.
I thought
what
we were going to come back and win the game. When the Sooners didn't score a touchdown before half, I thought they were going to score a touchdown and make it 21-14, get the ball in the start of the second half and have it tied up. But they got a field goal, so I was a little concerned.
At any point, were you furious?
I was there with attorney Lance, and my good friend Zane Hendershot was in from out of town.
Lance will not put up with a subpar performance from Oklahoma. I can promise you that.
I've told you before, he's a bit of a pessimist when it comes to these things.
He's my kind of guy.
I tried to
really
lift his spirits.
Like how?
Actually, I didn't try to because I was disappointed. The Oklahoma's defense is not good, and they give up some big plays. But when you watch the game, you knew that Oklahoma's offense was going to score some points. It was going to be okay on that end. So I felt pretty good when Oklahoma came out in the second half, scored a touchdown, and got a three and out, and then went down to score a touchdown. And I was all right. Or they got a field goal on that one, too. So I was like, okay, it's going to be okay. I thought everything was going to be just fine until they snapped the punt through Austin Seibert's hands and allowed K-State to get a five-play, 13-yard drive. Angry.
Now,
anyway, it was.
What about when Oklahoma was attempting to set up for the game-winning field goal and then accidentally ran a touchdown?
Well, here's the deal. I was happy about that because I do not trust Austin Seibert, who also field goal kicker.
See, that's why that was a big deal, because there was no guarantee he was going to make that damn kick.
I told this nice K-State lady next to me all day long that I don't trust this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this 43 is no good.
Did she win it? Were you harassing her?
No, I was being nice to her. Okay. And then after the punt snap through his hands, I turned and said, you know, it's actually the kicker, too. I told you he'd mess something up today.
Right.
She laughed. And then when they were running the ball, I said, I don't like this at all. And then Rodney Anderson just scored, made it good.
What do you think of Iowa State now after going to Lubbock and holding them to 13 points? Now they will host TCU in the Big 12 game of the week.
Iowa State's a good team. They are a good team. They should have beaten Iowa. The Texas game was just a weird one. That was when Jacob Park was playing.
Their two losses to Iowa, 44-41, and to Texas, 17-7.
They have not lost since they changed quarterbacks. So that's been a key for them. And they're a good team. It's going to be tough sledding to try to beat TCU.
Percent chance they make it to the Big 12 title game.
They still have to play Oklahoma State,
okay,
TCU.
They play home against TCU, at West Virginia, home against Oklahoma State, at Baylor, at Kansas State.
I'm still putting that at a... It's probably unfair. I'm still putting that down under 20%, probably.
Mm-hmm. But they're no fluke. That's a...
No, they're a good team. They're a well-coached team and a good team.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to just handle their business against some of these other teams, too. That's what's going to maybe get them. They'll step up and lose to someone they shouldn't lose to, I guess. Because they're still kind of on that edge. Tech's a team you can't figure out. They look great one week, and then they score 13 points at home.
So you had an enjoyable trip to Manhattan?
It was fine. It was good. We hung out with a lot of nice K-State people. You know what we got before the game? We pulled in the park. Kevin and his friend, he can't mention on the radio, his name is Dwayne.
Right.
Got us a parking
You just
pass.
Mentioned him.
I did. So we got to park.
Wait a minute, how's that work? You just said you couldn't mention, and then you mentioned
But
him.
I did.
Yeah,
by the way,
that's
so we were parked right next to...
In the sheep lot?
No, we were in the paved. It was excellent.
That was closed.
And,
they closed the sheep.
I don't know if the sheep lot's still across the way. Probably. I don't know.
So it's, you had a good experience?
They had King's Hawaiian... ham sliders and cheese sliders
goodness,
with little poppy seeds
would
on top.
I'd love to have one right now.
Oh, man, that there's a place up north.
Put anything on a King's Hawaiian roll.
Studio where we did the game yesterday.
Well, not anything.
There's a. Have you been to Longboard's?
Yes, delicious.
Oh, I had
one of Liberty. There's one on North Oak. I go to Longboard's all the time.
Man, Hawaiian sliders with crab meat,
fastball,
and pork.
Curveball,
Thai boxer bowl. Look at that. Boom.
Oh,
so we had a good time. The driving home in the rain stunk. What are you going to do?
Oh, quit complaining about
Went to Whister Burger after the game.
Ooh.
What did you get?
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Going back to my Arc City days, what we referred, my sister and I referred affectionately to as the Divorce Express. It was I-35. My parents would meet in Emporia.
He just threw his
Jake just wanted to break.
He just threw his shoes out into the hallway.
That's good.
Why would you throw your shoes off?
Would you like me to come in there and push the brake button?
No, I want to hear more about Arc City as we are 30 minutes into a first segment of the hour.
Is this the first segment of the hour?
Yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't have come
we'll
in.
We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Oh, boy. P&L was on fire yesterday for the Coors Light Fan Fest. It was a tremendous atmosphere. Thank you to everyone who was involved, who attended, who worked, who did anything. Because it was a tremendous success. The game was terrific. And again, from Missouri's perspective, I'll give you some thoughts, and then we'll hear from Nate and Jake. But
before we move off the topic, props to the fans. Props to the fans and people of Kansas City, because I was very skeptical about how people handle themselves in a situation like this, and it's really easy to get caught up in past happenings. But I think I didn't see any ill will or, you know, not even curse language in the fans, you know, which I fully expected people to be MFing each other and, you know, worried. Because there were a few Missouri people sitting in the section that I sat in, the Kansas, and for the most part, they were left alone and they, you know, stayed to themselves. Kansas fans left them alone except for, you know, some fun ribbing back and forth. But props to Kansas City for stepping up for such a great cause and making a great donation, raising an unbelievable amount of money. And I'm just really proud to be a Kansas City and how people handle themselves no matter what school they root for.
That's right. It was just great. And so from a basketball perspective, if you're a Mizzou fan, I don't see how right now you can't be anything but thrilled with what you saw yesterday and how excited you should be for this upcoming season. Just incredible. What what a turnaround. Now, this is just one exhibition game from what this team and what this program was at the end of last year to what we saw a few short months later on the floor yesterday. It's just it still boggles my mind. And so Michael Porter Jr. plays 23 minutes. And here's the thing. So we're all talking about he had a bad game. He said he had a bad game. When we talked to him after the game in the press conference, he you could tell he was very unhappy with the way he played and the way he shot the basketball. And he much better first half than second half. And so let's hear from Michael Porter and what he said after the game.
Well, first of all, it was great to get out there and play. I was pretty disappointed with my personal performance. I felt like there was a lot more things I could have done for the team. So I'm kind of putting this loss kind of on myself a little bit. Even though there was stuff the whole team could have done better, there was a lot more I should have done for my team.
All right, let's play BC72. Here's Konzo Martin, who also talked about the performance of Michael Porter Jr. And the loss.
I don't think it takes any harm on his teammates, and they want to win the game. And I think when you're a competitor, there's no such thing as an exhibition or a scrim. They're all real games when you're competing. So I think he took it personal from the standpoint. He probably felt like he didn't play as well, and he might look at the, you know, field goal percentage. But for me, that's not really the real game. It's just the effort, the intensity, the rebounding, playing hard, defending your man, putting pressure on basketball. Those are things. Cause those are the things that we can control every night. But I mean, he's probably no more upset than any other guy. But I mean, he's a very talented player. And I think it's great again because he'll see different matchups and people going certain ways. And you know, you put big guys on, smaller guys on, and again, it'll slow down for him. And again, this is an atmosphere and the expectations for him and everything surrounding him. He's supposed to be at a high level every night. Every shot is gauged or analyzed, and that's not an easy thing to go through. But he'll study and he'll be ready to go the next time out.
So my point is, if that's a bad game for Michael Porter Jr., 23 minutes, 21 points, and 8 rebounds, I'll take a few more bad games.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think it shows what he's capable of. I think the bad number for him is 21 points on 20 shots. You know,
right.
That's just not the efficiency you're looking for. Now, you have to keep in mind, he went 7 of 8 from the free throw line, so he got himself to the stripe some. I don't know that he needs to be taking 9 three-pointers out of his 20 shots. You know, I know he's a better shooter than what he showed yesterday, but you're 6'10", man. You know, get yourself to the basket, get some easier looks. You know, that might help him, but I thought, like, my comment after the game, and maybe it was because he did the bulk of his scoring in the first half, I thought it was kind of a quiet 21 points, and I say that as a compliment. Like, that shows how
probably because he only played 23 minutes. He wasn't out there down the stretch either.
And I kept wondering that when I was watching, like, you know, and I was watching it on you know, after the game was already over, and I kept thinking to myself, why isn't he out there? Like, because Jordan Barnett and Cassius Robertson both played over 30 minutes. I'm a little surprised he didn't play more.
I kind of sense that he was trying to do too much. Both the Porters were trying to do too much. But the guy I'm most excited about and most impressed with, Jeremiah Tillman, the big man out of East St. Louis that at one time was going to Illinois and now, of course, at Mizzou. He only played 13 minutes because he had 7 fouls, but 10 points and 4 rebounds. But for the point of just scouting and seeing him and his frame, athleticism, his aggressiveness, being able to run the floor, And I know Jonte Porter took too many shots and tried to do too much. But again, he's 17 years old. He's supposed to be a senior in high school right now. You talk about two guys that size with that type of athleticism, that type of ceiling, and that's besides Michael Porter Jr. That's tremendous. Cassius Robertson, the grad transfer from Canisius, he's going to provide them with much needed 3-point shooting. I thought Jordan Barnett, the former transfer from Texas, was terrific. Yes. He had 5 3-pointers. But now the big issue is going to be how the point guard situation develops. Blake Harris, the true freshman, he's going to be the guy. He needs to develop. And then Terrence Phillips, a veteran, you got to have more from Terrence Phillips. He's got to play better. And so that's going to be a key. But boy, a lot of excitement for Mizzou basketball based on what I saw yesterday. And Nate, there were plenty of things that you had to like, starting with Devontae Graham.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big question for me going into the season is Devontae Graham ready for this to be his team? Because he was kind of he was the Robin to Frank Mason's Batman the last couple years. You know, is he ready to be Batman now? And I think if one game is any indication, and we know the stakes from the fans caring and the quality of opposition was high, he's ready for it to be his team. He scored, he got rebounds, he got other people involved, had a couple steals. That was a good sign. Kind of like what you said about Michael Porter Jr., I thought that the fact that Malik Newman was fairly heavily criticized by Bill Self after the game, and he went for 17 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. So if that's a bad game from Malik Newman, I think that shows what he can bring to the table. And the thing, though, that stood out to me from a pleasant surprise, I know that Azubuike is a big, powerful presence. But the guy that I saw last year, I'm thinking you can't even count on more than 20 minutes a game out of that kid because he just can't get up and down the floor that much. Andrea Hootie, as she always does, has done a phenomenal job with him. And obviously credit to the young man, too, for getting in shape and all that. But he's lost a lot of weight. He looks ridiculously nimble on his feet for a guy his size. He looks so much more athletic now. He went 27 minutes. And, you know, I know Bill Self criticized him for not having rebounds in the first half of the game. I'm very encouraged about Azubuike. So I thought really good signs from KU in their first game as well.
Well, hope everyone
preseason game, you know.
Had a great time. We all did, and it was so much fun at the Coors Light Fan Fest presented by Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And Kitty Ears.
Leave it alone. Let it go. But what I would like to say is I hope everyone has a great Monday listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.